Hello?
Trent. Hi. Good afternoon. This is Rob. Trent?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Experiencing the perfect amount of stress when we went from a Wednesday call last week to a Monday call this week. Perfect amount. The perfect amount of stress.
It seemed like it was pretty quick to me, too.
Hey, we're accelerating. So, yeah, so it is. So we've been working on a few different, few different aspects of the, a lot of this we have, a lot of stuff we have in place, which is formalizing it, and
okay.
Good. It's kind of good to, I started doing some follow-up, executive summaries out to people. That's massive, and we ordered the folders.
Right.
And anybody else on the call here yet?
Yeah, we got the man.
Oh, we got the folders in? Sheila, you're like a ghost.
Stealth.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
You got the folders in today?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. We're going through, and Sheila's handling the scheduling for me, and Ken and I had a great call last week. We did everything right except copy Sheila to email the client to book the quarterly call. So we were close to perfect. So we're getting there.
That's great. Okay. Any challenges on your part that you want questions on?
Sheila?
I'm sorry, I had on mute. No, not right now. Everything seems to be going smoothly.
Okay.
We're redoing the client folders right now because we're trying to do, we were talking this morning, or actually this afternoon. It's all blending together. Kind of getting, Kay and I were struggling. I know Kay's on the phone now. And we were struggling with the, what goes in the content? Do we need a, do we need a physical folder or not? I'm saying yes, we need a physical folder because it helps remind you of everything and it gets it in one place. Even though we might keep it electronically, I still want to have it printed out like it was at a doctor's office so that they might scan it back in the computer there, but I want to have it in front of me so that I just go through it the same way the client goes through it. One question that came up, Rob, and
yep.
Kay asked me, are you going to mail the folders? Because, a lot of people aren't back yet. And I was hoping to just wait to see people face to face. But what we decided is, October agenda is the same for everybody. So we're starting to focus on the October agenda. Just pull it together and it becomes similar for everybody, right? Is that how you look at this? Like this is our cyber security month.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good. That's great. That's a great way to, yes.
Because it gives you somewhere to start instead of it being custom for everybody, which I think would be almost, it just would be, maybe we get there custom, but you got to start somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's going to have their issues, which are going to come out when you start to talk to them. You just do a financial plan, right? And they come up with three or four follow-up items. They go on the agenda. You don't need to do them right away.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to get them on there. The other thing is, for example, you're going to have many clients that give away money through stock or required minimum distributions.
Mm-hmm.
The required minimum distributions are their own by themselves a topic. But stock giving, a lot of the universities have a June fiscal year. So thinking about, I committed for 5 years, $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year, when do we decide to give that money? That should be on the agenda. And then you, with them, decide that, we've had a pretty good run here in the stock market. We might as well take advantage of it. and give away some of that Amazon, whatever. And that's the sort of thing that this kind of an agenda, this kind of regular conversations can be very helpful to you as their planner in terms of running their business.
And Kay is used to the agenda because she came from, at one point in her career, was at Northern Trust, and everybody gets an agenda and a printed out booklet and you get that level of service. So I understand the value of it, and I was just, what I was saying that we would do, clients have their folder. We have a folder that we fill up with all the material that I use these folders over and over and over again. I'm not going to keep 70 folders, I don't think, because I'm going to then scan it in electronically with a follow-up, and then the next month, or you're saying, hey, just go ahead and have 70 folders.
Yeah. Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
I mean, if a year from now or 2 years from now, you guys say, you know, this is silly. We're
yeah.
just good. Let's don't throw them away.
Yeah.
Try doing it electronically.
Okay.
And if you can pull it off, God bless you. Okay?
Yeah.
But I've had people start without folders, go back to folders, then say, okay, now we can do it without them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go without them, and then they go back to them. So it's just keep them around because the tendency is to go back to them because of their physical nature. It
yeah.
keeps you organized. You know, you look behind you and, you know, I like to kind of put one of those metal, you know, racks for folders. You can buy them in the, you know, any store.
Yeah.
And you put them behind you. Don't keep them right in front of you. You'll go crazy looking at them. Put them behind you. And that's the next day. Okay?
That's the next day's reviews. We're doing it now. We're just doing it in a much more less organized way.
Well, the advantage here is that everybody has plenty of time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have the fire, you know, the fire sale or the fire going on. Like Mrs.
Right.
Smith, well, and she's coming in tomorrow. Let's do, you know, we got to do a review for her. That doesn't happen. You know, it can, but it shouldn't happen. At least it shouldn't happen once you're up and running because people understand. They've got an appointment. You've got a calendar. They don't bother you anymore because they know you're working all the time. And so it becomes much more organized on both sides, yours and theirs.
So Sheila, what we'll do in my office and Kay, so you know, we'll just put in my office, we'll have the, we'll just put the folders in that one drawer, you know, and the left, we'll just go ahead and create client folders that way. And then Kay, you'll have so we have two offices we go back and forth between, so that's we'll have to figure that out a little bit, how we handle that. But, we'll just do it. We'll just do the physical folders then. No big deal.
Yeah, we do that. I mean, I go to Florida,
yeah.
you know, first of November, and I just bring my box of folders with me, you know. And,
right.
everything stays, you know, I can just move my office in 2 minutes. So it's the same thing, you know, you just move everything to another office, and you don't have to move everything. If you have, you know, if you're there and you know which one clients you're going to see there, you just take those folders with you.
The clients that are in business are very receptive to this. The retirees are a little less sure, but open to the idea of trying it is just where we are right now. But
yeah, I think that's normal because they don't, you know, the idea of being on a schedule, they love the freedom of no schedule and so, but they have their, trust me, they have their bridge games and their golf games and their hairdressers.
They're all scheduled, yeah.
They're all scheduled. So it's just, you're just helping to organize them a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll come around. You just, and if they say, no, I don't want it scheduled, then you just say, okay, I'll just call you, you know, and you can just call when their schedule is. You can go ahead and not send them. You can even send them an agenda and just say, hey, I'm going to be calling such and such a day. And then just call.
I think at first I was a little overwhelmed, but then I realized, hey, you know, the agenda is going to be pretty similar. And if we have a theme of the month, I think that makes it a little easier. And there are surely 12 things to talk about that we do throughout the year. And, you know, we're... Do you have a... Actually, I was going to ask you that, Rob.
Yeah.
You have a list of topics or something in the workbook somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's on your page 54 or something like that.
Okay.
We call it the 24-month calendar.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not reading ahead, so.
That's okay. And we did that, the 20, we give 2 months for each item. And you can make a change them every month. But the idea is if you're doing, let's say, efficient use of your balance sheet, or mortgages, or, you know, something to do with debt financing. And all of a sudden, you know, the client, you know, the client has no mortgage, but you bring it up and tell him what's going on. And he says, oh yeah, my daughter needs a mortgage. And, you know, and then you explain you can do a mortgage through us. You can do a securitized loan through us. You know, if you don't want to have closing costs and all the rest of it, we'll just do it based on the securities we have. And all of a sudden, now you got some work to do, right?
Yeah.
You may not want to start on a new topic until you clean those up.
Yeah.
So you give yourself 2 months. So you call, theoretically, 100 people. 10 of them want to do mortgages. You follow up on those 10. Now, mortgages, as you know, real mortgages take, you know, can be
2 months.
Yeah, a couple months, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Right.
If not more. And so you don't want to be jamming yourself with long-term care presentations while you're still trying to get these mortgages done. So that's why we call it the 24-month calendar. We give you 8 new topics over a 24-month period, interrupted by calendar-driven events such as required minimum distributions and so forth. Things that are calendar-driven. Stock, you know, harvesting losses and things at the end of the year. Those are things that are calendar-driven, but the others are, you know, you decide when you want to talk about mortgages and so on. So some people actually send out the whole 24-month calendar, and they like it because it keeps them on track and the clients know when they're going to be talking about different subjects. So it's kind of like sending out an agenda of items, you know, coming selections, coming news, you know, coming programs. That's up to you. That may be a little too organized.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I have a target. I think just having a target, like, you know, here are the things we talk about over a year, over 2 years. I don't think it hurts to have these topics, and there's probably others we can add in as well. So it's just helpful to have some type of framework. Okay, any questions on folders and all any of that we had talked about?
She just got dropped off the call. She's going right back in.
Oh. She got dropped?
Yep.
So went through... I feel like I just went through it yesterday, but now we're into the next week because we shortened our week a little bit. Since we went from Wednesdays to Mondays, you know, I mean, like I said, I went through the whole power of full engagement, and I probably need to bring that in and share that with whoever's interested in it, but an excellent book. And covers a lot. I mean, you know, just,
right.
Gosh, you know. Makes me think, hello. I'm throwing the phone around.
Okay.
Everybody okay? Everybody all right? Okay. So I think from a question standpoint, you know, let's talk about the power and full engagement. I mean, it's about your whole lifestyle and everything. I think we have you as a coach, but it's, you know, taking care of your health and everything. what I find intriguing about it is it's not just, you know, if we were playing a sport, we'd have a season, we'd be done in 4 months. But our season never ends. Our season is, we have to be on top of our game all the time. And, you know, how do you avoid burnout? And it's the downtime. How do you unplug and go home? I think everybody's pretty good at it. I'm probably the least good at it in the group. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
Well, he tells the story of a guy that comes home and, you know, carries it into his house, his stress, and he has to sit in the garage for a few minutes and disengage so that he is fully engaged with his family when he walks in. Easier said than done, but it's skill. It's like any skill. You practice and you get better at it. There's a couple big concepts with the power of full engagement that are relevant to us in this world. The one is the idea of rituals versus discipline. This idea that, you know, we see somebody like you who seems to be amazingly organized and amazingly productive, and they think that you have more discipline than they do. And the truth is that you have substituted rituals for that discipline. You use the discipline in order to create rituals. And then those rituals become as sacred as brushing your teeth. And it's not easy because your life changes. So getting... The key to rituals is not that you're always going to adhere to them, because you're not. What's going to happen, though, is that you're going to feel bad enough by not adhering to them that you get back on the path as quickly as possible. The truth is that the success of your ability to be organized is directly dependent on your ability to get back on the path quickly. And so... having bilateral contracts with other people that you care about that will support you in these things is very important, because life is hard and there's a million distractions. And if you share with your loved ones and the people in the office what you're trying to accomplish and why you're trying to accomplish, and that you need their support in doing it, they will be there for you. And everybody should be engaged in this process, because everybody needs this, all right?
Yeah.
We all need recovery time, because, you know, ideal performance state is only created by ideal recovery state. And the better your recovery, your ability to adhere to it, the better your ability to sustain longer term your ideal performance states. So that's everything, you know, the proper amount of sleep, exercise, diet. So proper amount of sleep, 8 hours. I know it sounds ridiculous for most of us, don't sleep 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's the best, it's really, you know, all kinds of studies have shown that for longevity and energy, you need to recover, you need sleep. Proper amount of sleep, go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time. Varying your sleeping pattern is the worst thing you can do for consistently getting that amount of sleep. Tell somebody that's going overseas all the time, they'll laugh at you, but it is the big challenge that we all have. exercise, 1 hour a day, vigorous exercise. You hear all these people now getting all excited, and, you know, it's like for the first time they're discovering interval training. Well, interval training has been around forever, right?
Yeah, right.
But it is the best training, because we're not linear. We don't live a linear life. So getting on the treadmill for 40 minutes and going at 3.4 miles an hour walking is fine. It's better than nothing, but it isn't the way you live.
Yeah, you know? Right. You live in bursts of energy, and you slow down, and you kick back. Right.
So up, you know, going, raising the, if you're going to walk, if you have problems with your hips and knees and stuff, walk at an elevated rate and get your heart rate up. Keep it up there for 3 or 4 minutes and then bring it down. So whatever it takes to get that heart rate up is the key. And then and then you test your ability and your conditioning by how fast your heart rate comes down after you stop.
Yeah.
So proper amount of sleep, exercise, diet, you can have a visible commitment to diet, proper diet, but having good snacks around the office. And I highly recommend that. Something you should put into place right now. You know, having, you know, fruits and vegetables and some, you know, good nutritious bars. Most of them have too much sugar in them, but they're better than candy bars. Okay, better than K. Better than.
You like that K? You like that K?
Excuse me.
We can now eat your fruit salad that you bring in. You hear that?
Nobody ate my fruit salad. I'll just say that.
I had a cup of your fruit salad.
Okay.
No, that's great. You know, you stop celebrating birthdays and cakes and celebrate them with other things that are good for you because you care about the person living. You know, cake is fun. It's not, it's just, you know, it's better not to. I'm not being a spoiler here. I think it's a trap we all fall into, that we're always celebrating whatever with sugar, and it's a trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that book.
I have a couple copies of that book. I think Stephen has a copy. You can grab a copy from him. Stephen, do you have that copy? Do you not hear?
I don't think he's on the phone. Did he know that it was happening today?
Well, you know, I can't remind him. He can only remind the guy so many times. So.
Okay.
Like, he should know, but he has a copy. I have a copy at home I'll bring in. I actually downloaded it, so I like to actually listen to it. It's actually pretty good, except he gets into Palm Pilots a little bit. You know, it's been a while since you talked about Palm Pilots, so it does have a little bit. But you know, look, you know, you can take, you know, it's organization, right? It's a really good book. So I see you have a, you know, recommended reading list, and it just happened to be that was the first one I listened to it, then I read it, and now I'm actually, as I walk the dog, listening to it again. So,
oh, that's great.
It's good. It's great. It's actually one of the better, I'm not a like rah-rah, like read something that makes your life change, but that one and Playing to Win, I'm into that one now, but really I found it to be not just something I could execute right away. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, my Jim's now retired, Jim Lehrer.
Yeah.
But he's a fabulous guy, and he's got a lot of other books, but this is the best one that I've found. Mm-hmm. And then Larry Wilson's got a bunch of books on sales and other things, but his book, mm-hmm. Playing to Win, is the best book he wrote, too. And these are life changers. These are two mm-hmm. books that I think, you know, you should insist your family read, you know, when they get to age, and because they will help them with the challenges of life. And, you know, the advantage I have now is I kind of can look back on life. You know, I'm 72, so I can look back and say, okay, so what are the good things? What are the good decisions I made? What are the things I would do over? Having the good rituals throughout my working career gave me the ability to enjoy my less vigorous years, or, you know, less my kind of retirement. Still working, but I quasi-retired, and I'm fully engaged in my in this. You know, I can do all this. I can climb Kilimanjaro. My friends are having hip operations and knee operations, and, you know, all these things are going wrong, and I think, looking back on it, it's not just genetics. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fact that I never had a breakfast meeting when I was traveling my 14 states and gone 5 days a week. I was running every morning, you know, six or seven. I'd run. beautiful. Yeah. Along the Mississippi, all these beautiful places, and I'd run. And then I'd have my first meeting at Deets. And you know, that was fine. Nobody missed me.
Yeah. Right.
And I loved the traveling because of that. I didn't mind it. And I was always in a good mood because I'd always gotten my workout in. I had the endorphins kicking through me till 1 o'clock or something. So, you know, that's just luck of meeting the right people, reading the right books, and having good genetics, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm healthy now, and my friends are not. And it's kind of sad when you have more money than time, and you can't do the things you love. You know, I played tennis yesterday, and I said, God, I love this game. You know, I had so much fun. And I said, I'd rather do that than, you know, most anything. And, you know, to do that when you're my age is kind of what it's all about. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'll get a book around everybody here. I mean, it's worth taking a look at. That's great. I mean, that is inspirational. Because I go in and out of working out. I row, but not enough. And I need to go out in the river and row more, so.
One of the things to do is to set a, you know, big, hairy, audacious goal, as we used to call it. Something that is locked in. You're going to hike a mountain. You're going to run a marathon. You're going to row in a regatta. You're gonna do something where you got to be in shape and you got to be ready. And that is, I trained for triathlons and, you know, I quit doing them, but I kept the training going. That's if I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing you've got to kind of fake your brain into doing it, you know, and say, do it, sign up for it. And if you don't feel like you can do it, don't do it, but you train for it anyway. You know, and
I agree. I was talking about rituals. I told Kay, but I don't know if I told you, Steve. I went to the Barron's Top 100 thing, and this guy, Richard O'Neill, who shot Osama bin Laden, Navy SEAL 6, was there. And talk about a regimented ritual schedule. I mean, they had no choice in their training. And I sit there and I think, gosh, you know, when I have a tough day, my days are not tough anywhere compared to what these guys do in their training. But he was saying, you know, we always, you know, try and bite. Everybody tries to jump into everything and do everything in such a large way. He said, you know, in our training, I'm just, you know, we were just thinking of getting, how do I get from this point through to breakfast? How do I get from breakfast to lunch? You know, because you're not thinking of, you know. But what was amazing is how they would just get rid of people if they just were off a little bit because they were too dangerous. People would die. So they were, like, how quickly they would cut people out of the second level of training. And very, very inspirational. And that's something I want to share, mark this down. We have something called the Distinguished Speaker Series. I want to make sure that I get on that board and try and bring someone like that to town. Because I don't think that would hurt, you know, getting up and introducing someone like that. I'm sure we could get him into this town and having speak at the Riverside Theater or something. So that's just something that will be part of our talk later on Centers of Influence.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that inspiration. You know, we go through life in our own world, and big or little, but we go through it, and we think that our challenges are really a big deal, and then you realize, you know, these guys, you know, when they screw up, they don't come home, you know.
Right.
And that changes things, so... that's why I include this in this book, in this particular section, because we're trying to, at this point, we're kind of creating our ideal practice.
Right.
We're creating our ideal day. And in that, we need ideal recovery in order to have ideal performance.
So do we all have our ideal day? Do each one of us have our ideal day? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Absolutely. And you should all write it out.
Mm-hmm.
You should write it out. You know, what's your ideal day, month, year? You know, if you had a magic wand and could create your perfect life there, what would it look like? Take into account the other members of your team.
Right.
That you're interdependent with each other. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you're considerate about your vacations. But this is when you really want to be there, and but not everybody can do it at the same time. So
mm-hmm.
let's plan our vacations, let's plan our recovery time, let's plan our work time. When are you best at meeting with prospects? When are you best meeting with clients? When are you best planning? You know, you don't want to you don't want to waste your high energy time planning. That should be when you're meeting with prospects. You know, that's...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're hiring...
I do,
Yeah. That's when you want to be meeting with prospects. So,
and that shifts, probably. That shifts from people. Right? Your times may shift depending on what your day is like. So that's the thing. You start working out in the morning, you may become a morning person.
Well, that's amazing. And morning is the time when you have the most control over your day.
Right.
And so that's the time, frankly, you should all work out. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad. If you've got it down and you work out at 5 to 6, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, that 5 to 6 time can get wrecked by just a whole variation of people. Can introduce that.
The whole world. Right. Right.
Can wreck that time. And your perfect plan goes up in smoke in 20 minutes when the wife calls and says, you got to pick up Johnny because he's sick at school or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, 5 to 6 or 6 to 7, nobody's going to mess with that time because nobody else is up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you control that time.
I do think it's important for all of us to kind of fill out what is our... Because our work's important, all of our work's important. You know, what is our perfect day? Because that's truly how we should try and work with each other to make a perfect life for everyone around us, right? So that is, I mean, that's something we need to have a discussion about.
Go
ahead.
Fill in your perfect day, and then have a group meeting and share your perfect day with everybody else, and then
mm-hmm.
blend your perfect days so that everybody can fit and adjust for the other people in their work area, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that
right.
you can work together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So that's
you
know, if you got that out of this day, this call, mm-hmm. that's perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that is good. So let's talk about niches and centers of influence a little bit. You know, I've been fortunate and good, and I was just actually looking today because this niche popped in my head. There's something called the Hecklinger Institute in Florida. It's where all the estate planning attorneys go to study advanced estate planning techniques. And in the state of Florida, it's all about estate planning. I mean, this is the estate planning. I mean, it is the tax haven, tax state. The more we know, I mean, I probably know more about estate planning than most attorneys, but not as much as most estate planning attorneys. And they have the ability to really introduce you to people if they know that you understand what they're talking about. And it's something I like doing and focusing on. But tough crowd to just meet someone. It takes a while to kind of cultivate that. But the referrals are much bigger. They're much more fun to work on. It makes life a lot better. That's a niche I'm looking to constantly improve and work on. And then I'm struggling to find another niche, and I was wondering if anybody else, you know, on this call has to say, well, here's your niche. Because I'm looking for it.
Trent, your niche is golf.
Yeah, that's it, too. Right. I'm desirable to play golf with and decent at it and fun. So I mean, if I get enough calls for that, you know, I actually can turn golf into business. A lot of people cannot do that. It's an interesting. I'm sure Robbie ran through that. Golf can turn into, hey, that was great and fun. We should do it again sometimes. To trying to leave enough teasers where people are like, hey, I really want to get together with you. It's a fine line. I mean, I'm sure you've been on the golf course. It's an interesting dilemma out there. like, all right, I'm with these guys. I was a guy the other day who has $1 billion. I'm golfing with him. Like, how can I get to leave this guy with a teaser where he wants to meet with me, you know, for coffee or something? You know, like how? And sometimes I'm very successful at it. Sometimes I leave after 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm like, well, that was fun, but I, you know, I didn't achieve what I was trying to do. So it's a lot of, it's a big investment to get nowhere. But they, I'm by teetering between a 9 and a 10 right now.
Yeah,
so
good.
I won't get any better than that until, because I just won't spend the time.
Did you play in college or high school or anything?
No, I just picked it up when I moved down to Florida. And
well, 9 is good enough to want people to play with you, and they want to have you in their member guest.
Right.
So it's a good thing. I mean, it's a great. It's you know, it's 5 hours or a big chunk of the day. And usually it involves lunch or, you know, breakfast, lunch or something. And so that's a great thing. And
well, very,
so you're really trying to make friends. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the
truth. Right.
And if you make friends, then people want to, the key is to ask about them. Like in any, you know, good relationship, where we like people that are interested in us and remember stuff about us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So asking about, you got to remember that most people do not have a lot of good friends. Especially in business. In business, they have very few friends. They've got a lot of acquaintances and a lot of good business relationships. Mm-hmm. But true friends, not so many.
Can I interrupt you there for a sec?
Yep.
What? Because I think you're right and I think you're wrong. Because Trent clearly, well, it's kind of like the Kavanaugh situation. I think they're both right. Anyway, but Trent is clearly into a universe where the people like each other enough to have a very small golf club, which would imply that they do like each other. I'm going to a subtext from there, which is we do have people who are businessmen who are very well liked. Trent, I'm thinking about last year. How many people for their 65th birthday have 50 people show up from all over the world on their own dime to celebrate the birthday?
I think that he's an outlier, though. I think
no, but where I'm going is where would Rob have us go with that information?
I mean, I think there are outliers to that conversation, but I think there's some, he's right. I think of the people I know in business, they have a lot of acquaintances but very few friends. And
this is particularly true of men.
Yeah.
Okay. Women tend to share more, be more open, make friends quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Men keep it close to the vest, and you know they're always working.
Okay, let me try and go to the QBQ here, the question behind the question. If Trent has in fact identified people who are in business and have friends on the golf course, which I think he has, and if we can identify people in business who have friends, what's the logical? Because Trent has the Holy Grail, quite honestly. And so how can we use that Holy Grail? And we'll use Lasky as an example. What would be the optimal way to find a guy who's surrounded by people around the world who are business people who are his friends?
Well, I'm sure, look, I've listened to you enough just in these four sessions that I believe that Trent knows how to do this as well as anybody I've coached, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you do it by doing what he does, which is make friends,
right?
Get engaged with things that they're interested in, charities, get on their boards, give money, help out, become, you know, vice president, then president,
mm-hmm.
and show the kind of work that you're capable of doing.
Right.
That's so smart. And then they see that you're a leader, and they see that you're competent, and they hear you in the board meetings, and they go, you know, we want more of you. And they talk about you and say, you know, he's not, just like you said about the estate planning, you're not just an empty suit, you know, trying to get the next stock trade. You actually know what you're talking about. And you bring as much value as any of their other value advisors.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's how you do it. There's no shortcut to doing this right. There's no, like, easy, oh, if you say these words, it's going to get the person to want to
do
this one.
Right.
It's sincere interest in them, getting to know them, having them over for dinner, going out to dinner, meeting the wife, meeting the kids. It's just becoming friends. And then, and then it's a natural thing when you're asking about them that they ask about you. And you tell them stories about people that you've helped. And that, they were about to make this mistake. Or, you know, I just had a friend of mine talk to me, you know, going back to my 50th reunion. Here's what happens. This is why you guys are important. I'm going back to my 50th reunion, and I'm trying to pull classmates together. Because, frankly, this is the only reunion I've ever gone back to at my university. And I'm reacquainting myself with my old buddies from Wake Forest. And my one buddy, this should be a time in your life when you have more money than you need, and you have more time than you need.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you have no time or you have no money. So this should be both. And this should be the golden years, and everything's good. Well, people, I mentioned people are suffering from ailments, yes. They're also suffering from lack of planning, okay? Lack of deferred gratification. They spent too much money. They didn't save enough. They didn't get the value of compounding, okay? So this is this whole deferred gratification pattern of working out. Same as working out. You know, nobody likes working out, but it's a payment that's going to pay off when you're 80 or 70. In this case, it's putting money away so that you... This one guy, his wife has Alzheimer's now. Okay, that's like a 7-year death sentence for her. And he now has got to figure out how to pay for it. And he doesn't sound like he has enough money. He doesn't have long-term care. And he asked me, you know, I said, I'll get 4 tickets for us for the game. And he said, how much are they? Right? Okay, just that question, right?
Yeah, that's not a good question. Right.
It's not a good question for your 50th reunion. Shouldn't be asking that question.
Right.
And so forth. And that's not unusual. These guys are not, people that don't come back because they're embarrassed. They don't have money, or they've been on, you know, something's not been great. So my point is that our job is to help people make sure they make good choices. My friend Larry Wilson used to say, our job is to help people grow up and make better choices.
Yeah.
Well, one of the choices is the compounding of money. You know, you got to have money. Everybody makes enough, usually, during their lifetime. They just don't save it.
Right.
And then they don't buy long-term care. They, you know, they don't do the things because they think they're going to live forever and always be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So each person on the team has a niche, right? It's not just...
Yes.
We all have a niche.
Right. Here's another thing. If I had it to do all over again, and I was a financial advisor, one thing that I would do is I would have a mastermind group.
Yeah.
A what?
A mastermind group.
Oh.
Okay. So you take the best of your niche players, and you form a mastermind group. And they become your closest friends in terms of the business and in every way, because you're going to meet with them regularly. How often, that's up to you. We suggest once a month. And that's
lunch with them or breakfast, sort of a breakfast meeting with them, all of them together?
Yes.
Like a board meeting?
Like a board meeting. Mm-hmm. Some people have a dinner because it's a, you know, It's a kind of a sacred time. They can take 2 hours if they need it. Some people have a breakfast that all lasts all morning. Some people have lunches. It's up to you on how that works. And I can, and we'll talk about it, and I'll show you, you know, how do you keep it going and how do you pick the right people. But the idea is that after, just think about it, after 20 years, for all of you, right?
Uh-huh.
After 20 years of meeting with these people, who is it among them that wouldn't have done, I mean, assuming you keep them in the group, they've all done well. They've all been amazingly successful. But at that point, you can pretty much meet anybody in the community through them because they've all matured, and they're going to be some of your best friends.
I like
that. They won't be temporary friends. These are going to be for real friends.
Right.
So we want to be very thoughtful about who we bring into this group. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a partnership. You know, if you're going to start a partnership, who are the people that you would bring into it
mm-hmm.
that could have, theoretically, a business?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, I like that.
It can be one of the most powerful things. Now, it started, the best example of it was Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm.
He had an amazing group of friends that he would meet with down at his place in Fort Myers. And so if you want to look up Mastermind Group, Thomas mm-hmm. Edison, you'll see the group that was it. But it, Ford, Henry Ford, and Burroughs, and just these amazing people. And when you think about it, right, you think about business, how about putting together those brains at that time? And no wonder they all dominated the world, right?
Right.
They were brilliant, and they were right. together. Mm-hmm. So the idea of a mastermind group is this idea of the third mind. When
right.
two people put their minds together, they create what they call the third mind. Or the mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys put, and that's why partnerships work. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you guys put your heads together, you create something that is greater than all of you separately.
Mm-hmm.
Your creativity, we call it stair stepping. So I come up with a good idea. Stephen adds to that. Trent adds to that. Sheila adds to that, and all of a sudden we're at a new level of ideas. And that's the genius of the mastermind. So anyway.
So would we each have our mastermind group? I mean, it would be me going out with a bunch of you, right?
Yeah,
right.
You each
okay.
have your own mastermind group that you all develop, you know, you develop your, and it becomes your own. Now, one of the ways to do it is to say, look, let's do this for a year. And if it works, great. If not, we'll all go our separate ways. That way people don't lock me into something forever.
Right. Right.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
There's a thing that I went to several times and finally broke off, but maybe if you encourage us, maybe this is a thing to go. It's a bunch of smart people. They've been meeting for 30 years.
Wow.
And these guys are, most of them in their 70s and 80s. The problem that I saw was it became more and more political as we got it. I stopped going as soon as Trump started running for president.
Yeah, I know.
Is that the nature of the beast?
No, you got to stay away from that group.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because that becomes a social hour for them to pontificate. That's not what you're after here.
You're after my business.
Yeah, people your own age, right?
Yeah.
People your own age with your own... Do you know how people stratify themselves in your town according to
yeah.
their net worth, according to their age, according to their physical capabilities? Everybody stratifies themselves in various ways. You want to pick people in your strata.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right. Not older.
Simple age, similar kids' age, similar. Everybody's similar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you see what I mean? Then you've got a lot. Common to start with. I mean, it could be,
okay.
and it could be all golfers for you. It could be guys from your club. Okay. Good guys that do different things, but they're all from your club. And they're all the similar age.
Mm-hmm.
They all have kids. And so you'd have a lot in common to start with, and you'd have a good trust factor to start with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they don't necessarily have to be clients, right? I mean, it can just be centers of influence. Just really good business guys. I can think of three.
They will all end up being clients.
Right. Right.
But you don't have to start out being clients.
Right.
But still see how good you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now that's massive. I've thought of that in the past. I just didn't know how to approach it. But that's very helpful.
So that could be, you take your niche, and then you create a mastermind group within that niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's enough for today, huh?
I think so.
Any other questions?
No. I mean, we got a lot covered. I appreciate it. And we'll have a full week before we talk to you again this time, so that'll be better.
Thank you,
No offense, Rob. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.